You don't need special gadgets to be a hero. With unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere, the Capital One Quicksilver Card makes you the hero of every purchase. Whether it's headphones, a lounge chair, or even a well-deserved massage, whatever the Quicksilver purchase, you're the hero. No fighting bad guys, getting in epic car chases, or parachuting out of buildings required. Simple, isn't it? The Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at Canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.
Hey, everybody. If you live in Boston, D.C., St. Louis, Cleveland, and Denver, we are coming to see you.
That's right. Stuff You Should Know Live, brand new topic. So if you're traveling from a nearby state where you've seen us before, this will be new and exciting and awesome.
Yep. On March 4th and 5th, we're going to be in Boston and D.C. On May 22nd and 23rd, we're going to be in St. Louis and Cleveland. And then on June 28th, we're going to be in Englewood, meaning Denver, Colorado. So come see us, and you can get tickets and information at SYSKLive.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and there's Jerry over there, and this is Stuff You Should Know, Arama.
You know, it's kind of funny that you did that little do-do-do-do, because I'm going to go ahead and plug this right off the top.
Okay.
We're doing this show on Moldorama, which, spoiler, is a machine that makes that made and still makes these little plastic things.
But has maybe one of the worst trade names ever.
Moldorama?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and plug this. There's a YouTube video from this young lady where she shows off her Moldorama little plastic toys that she's collected. Carpetbagger.org.
Oh, yeah.
Moldorama. Just look up that YouTube. She is adorable, and she's the best. And when she shows her suitcase full of Moldorama plastic toys, she does a little song, and it's just adorable and great.
I got to check that out. I saw her use one of the Disneyland Toy Factory Moldoramas.
Yeah.
I saw that. So I know who you're talking about.
She's great.
So that was nice of you, Chuck. Well, let's wait for everybody to come back from watching her YouTube video, shall we?
Okay. Let's wait for, I think, 5 or 6 minutes.
And done.
Yes.
Time passes faster here at Stuff You Should Know, doesn't it?
It does. I'm 80 years old.
So with, like you said, Moldorama, it is a, I've seen it described as a factory in a case.
Okay.
I thought that was a pretty apt description. But for those of you who don't know, it is basically an on-demand injection blow molded plastic toy dispenser. That's a technical definition for it. And while that might not make sense yet, it all will make sense in about 30 or so minutes.
All right. How about this? Picture this.
All right. Let's start over. Should we edit my part out?
No. Let's leave this all in.
All right. Good.
Picture this. You walk into a room. Let's say it's the Sears Tower. Now Willis Tower. Is it Willis?
Oh, yeah, that was Willis Tower. Sears Tower. Who keeps calling it Willis Tower? Stop that.
Sears Tower or a World's Fair or something. Mm-hmm. And there is a machine that looks sort of like a jukebox from 50 feet away.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way.
And then you walk up closer to it, and you're like, oh, wait, what is this weird mechanical thing? Let me put in 50 cents. And right before your very eyes, it will mechanically create a little plastic toy of an alien or a building or a lion at a zoo, and it will spit it out, and you will say that was just melted from plastic and molded and shaped and given to me right in front of my eyes. What a fun, neat thing.
Right. And you'll say all this after you recover from fainting from the fumes of melted plastic and then get up and get your toy out, which is good because they say that you should wait a half a minute for your toy to cool before you grab it from the mold-o-rama.
Right.
I think that was a pretty good job you just did of describing it.
And I think this is super neat because this reminds me of a bygone era, mm-hmm. like where I went to Nashville recently and went to Jack White's Third Man Records. Mm. And he has one of those booths where you can go in and record a record.
Mm-hmm. What'd you record?
Well, I didn't do it. Huh. I chickened out.
Okay.
What I wanted to do was go in and sing a little song for my daughter and give it to her as a record.
Aw.
And I was thinking, like, what could I do? What do I know in my brain by heart? Because they have a little guitar you can take in there. And it was such a small room, and it was in the room with everything else. And I just got weirdly shy. Like, I don't want people to hear me.
You got shy. Jack White made you shy, huh?
Yeah, I didn't want to do it in front of people. Like, if there was literally no one in there, I would have cut 10 records.
Oh, I got you. You should have stuck your head out and been like, can you all just leave for a little while?
Just trust me.
Wow.
But anyway, this reminds me of those days gone by where you could cut your own record or, you know, they had these really cool machines at fairs and things that they just, I mean, now I guess you can still get your picture taken and printed digitally.
Or the penny smasher that's still around, too. I see that compared to this a lot.
Yeah, those are cool.
Not really, but still, it's an apt comparison.
I will just say I'm surprised that my brother doesn't have a mold-o-rama in his basement.
So I am, too, because there's a guy who collects these things called Moldville, and I saw videos of his collection. Did you see this?
Yeah.
It's like a warehouse full of mint-condition mold-o-rama machines. This guy must be richer than an astronaut. He's got so many of these machines. And you're right about this, it evoking the memories of a bygone era. But what's crazy, Chuck, is that these things are still in use today. You can find them all over the country.
Yeah.
And they're still working. And this is what's amazing to me. They are the original machines that were made for about a 7-year period during the 1960s. Every mold-o-rama machine that you might encounter, including 10 at the Toledo Zoo, by the way.
That's awesome.
We're built in the 60s and have been operational ever since.
Should we talk about the history?
Well, first let me ask you this. Did you ever use a mold-o-rama when you were a kid?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No, and I'm dying now to go do one as an adult.
So they're still around?
Yes.
They're still around.
They are still around.
I got one. There's this thing in Toledo called, well, actually it's in Maumee, which is a suburb of Toledo, but it's called Children's Wonderland. And it's like this amazing 3D Christmas walkthrough diorama, basically, that just nothing can put you in the Christmas spirit as a kid better than Children's Wonderland.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of this, there was a mold-o-rama machine, and it made a gold smelly, plasticky angel. It was kind of boring, a boring Christmas angel, but it was mine, and I was so glad to have it. And I have no idea what happened to it. I'm sure it broke pretty quickly. But I was like, holy cow, I've had one of these before. I had no idea what it was called, that it was mold-o-rama. But I looked it up, and I actually found the angel.
Well, I think that's the cool thing about these as a kid is it's not putting your quarter in a gumball machine and seeing all those things and one of them falls out.
Right.
This is made just for you right in front of your face.
Yep. Pretty cool.
All right. So now can we go back in time?
Yeah. I'm done nostalgizing.
All right.
Wait. What is it? Reminiscing?
Sure.
Okay.
Nostalgizing. I think it's a word, right?
It is now.
All right. We're going back to 1937 in the winter when one J.H. Miller, Tyke is his nickname.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that comes from. Was he little?
Not that I saw.
Well, because it's spelled differently. T-I-K-E.
Yeah, I don't know what it means.
Anyway, of Quincy, Illinois, he made figurines. He and his wife made figurines, and they needed a replacement for his nativity scene. I guess his little baby Jesus was decapitated by his dog.
Mm-hmm.
He needed a new one, and he couldn't find a place to sell him just one little piece.
Yeah.
Like, you got to buy the whole nativity scene. And he was like, well, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah, he said, I just needed one. And you could understand the department store's position. Like, if they sell you just one piece, there's a whole set that they can't sell because who wants that set without the one piece, right?
Unless it's, like, maybe a donkey.
Maybe. I remember the donkey. That was a good one, though. That was one of my favorites as a kid.
But anyway, he and his wife said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take these lemons and make them into lemonade in the form of making our own little plaster replacement figure. And apparently they were pretty good at it because they ended up doing this for a living and founding a company doing this because the Germans evidently had the market cornered on nativity pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And when World War II came around, they said, nein, for you.
Right.
And we had a shortage.
Yeah. All we wanted was Liberty figures is what they called them during World War II, not nativity, because the Germans had supplied us with nativity figures. So American-made ones you could call Liberty figures.
Is that like freedom fries?
Right. I think they actually called sauerkraut Liberty cabbage. I'm not kidding. So the Tyke and his wife established this company. And in World War II, it really kind of grew because they cornered the market. And they just kept going from there. And then about 10 years after World War II, they decided to move from plaster. And by the way, he started selling nativity figures, individual ones, to those same department stores who would only sell him sets before, which I think is kind of sweet revenge. But they moved from plaster figures to plastic and got into a type of injection molding where air is blown into it, which saves on plastic and creates a lightweight plastic figurine. And really, honestly, nothing says 1950s Midwest more than plastic nativity figures, you know?
Probably so, yeah.
Made by a man named Tyke.
Yeah, and I mean, they did pretty well for a little while, I guess. I'm not sure exactly when the company was founded. But if in 1937 he came up with this idea and they went bankrupt in 1959, they sounds like they added some good years in there.
Yeah, they did. But I did not see why they went bankrupt. I saw they were nothing but successful. I don't know. I don't know if maybe they sunk a bunch of money into these machines and it just didn't quite make it or what.
Yeah.
But he was very successful. He had a line of plastic toys that kids would buy by the fistful at like the local five and dime or novelty store or something like that. And he had lines of like dinosaurs, I think toy soldiers. But the one that really put his company on the map as far as kids were concerned were called Earth Invaders.
Yeah.
Also known as Miller Aliens. And there was a line of tons of them. But the one that is still today the most prized of all was the Purple People Eater.
Oh, yeah.
And it actually inspired that song from the 50s, which I didn't realize that song was quite that old. But the song about the one-eyed, one-eared, flying purple people eater, that was based on Tyke Miller's creation from the 50s.
Oh, I think it was the other way around.
I don't think so. I think the song was based on the figure.
It says here the purple people eater was inspired by the hit song.
Oh, I read that as the opposite. Thanks. Good catch, Chuck.
I think that's the case because that song was a big hit and there were all manner of purple people eater souvenirs and things.
Gotcha.
It was a big business back then.
Thank you for that one.
No problem.
We would have gotten some email from like three people on that.
Tyke's great grandson.
Yeah.
Little Tyke. So in 59 or 60, they went bankrupt and it was right around this time where he said, all right, I've got this idea for an actual vending machine that could make these things on demand. And he was successful. He licensed this thing actually to what would eventually become Amerimark, which everyone knows that company's still around.
Mm-hmm.
At the time they were called the Automatic Retailers of America. And he developed these machines with them. And in 1962 at the Seattle World's Fair, they premiered there doing little space needles and monorails.
And Buddhas
for like 50 cents, which is about $4 today.
Mm, yeah.
So it was not a little cheap thing. It's not like sticking a dime in a machine today.
Right. No, they were definitely expensive. But they were a huge hit at that Seattle World's Fair. That was what, 1962?
Yep.
So in 1964 at the New York World's Fair, they blew up. They went from a couple of machines in Seattle, I guess three machines in Seattle, to as many as 150 at the New York World's Fair from 1964 to 1965. And even more than just having that many more machines, they also had branded machines, right? So like if you were a company like Sinclair Oil or Disney and you wanted to just kind of give people an extra little amazing experience, you could license and brand your own Moldorama, and they had plenty of those at the World's Fair. Some pretty cool ones, too.
Yeah. So like you said, anywhere from Disneyland to Montreal's World Expo. And that's the cool thing is at Disney World or Disneyland, there could be, I think they were some of the characters that were actually acting like they were working the machine.
Right.
It's kind of clever. Mm-hmm. Or if, you know, and you're in Montreal, it's going to be Canadian Mounties or maybe an Eiffel Tower.
Right. If you could contact the company, get them to make you your own signage, I guess, to put on the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then most importantly, they would sculpt and then manufacture a mold from that sculpture, whatever you wanted, say your logo or your brand or something like that, some sort of statuette that had that. You could set it up and people would take home your little branded tchotchke. It was pretty cool. It was a big hit in the 60s. And to Aramarker, ARA at the time, they were like, well, this is great. But apparently they were just looking at the whole thing as a proof of concept because they had their sights on not just like on-demand novelties, but on-demand everything, like
yeah.
on-demand dishware, on-demand jewelry, on-demand combs, on-demand ashtrays, that they felt like this was the future. Because at the time, you know, the early 60s, plastics was the future. It was pretty soon everything was going to be made in plastic and no one was ever going to have cancer from it a day in their life.
Right.
You know? It was a plastically optimistic time.
That's right. And in the end, they manufactured about 200 of these machines over a 7-year period. But by 1971, they said, you know what? ARA said, we're getting out of this Moldorama biz.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
We're going to go press together our own little moldy dinosaur and be right back. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. All right, Chuck, so ARA gets out of the biz, and it's kind of understandable why. There's a couple of big problems with Moldorama machines. One, they're expensive to manufacture. They were like apparently $3,600 per
yeah.
at the time. That was back in 1962, so just under $30,000 today per machine.
For a little vending machine.
And then also, once you set these things up, they required almost constant attention. You had to go refill them with plastic. You had to top off their fluids. You had to fix any parts. You had to keep them clean. You had to get gum off of them because, again, these are interfacing with little kids. So there was a lot of maintenance and upkeep to them as well. So Aramark said, we're done. And in the 70s, they sold off their machines to a couple of different groups.
Yeah, I mean, this is a mechanical, like, hydraulic machine that required, like, oil and antifreeze. I guess we can go into the process a little bit. It gets a little wonky for my taste.
Okay.
But I guess we should talk a little bit about how these actually work, right?
Yeah, we kind of have to. And it'll be fun, I promise. You ready?
Well, I will say this. First of all, there are hydraulics.
Yeah.
And there are these two molds. And you can go on YouTube and look at how these things work. It's pretty neat. Yeah. These two molds, it's basically one half of the little toy on each side.
Oh, yeah. Like a three-dimensional sculptured statuette.
Yeah, so they move toward each other with these hydraulics, and they're pressed together, forms a big seal, mm-hmm. And it ends up being hollow on the inside. That's right. Kind of a big point to make.
It's a negative of the sculpture.
Yeah.
So then there's a couple of holes in the bottom that lead into that sculpture cavity, and into that you inject hot plastic, because one thing that a lot of people don't realize about the Mold-O-Matic is just beneath the work surface that is the floor of what you can see, below that is a vat of 225 to 250 degree Fahrenheit molten plastic just sitting there bubbling hot.
Yeah, little pellets. They feed it in little colored pellets.
Right.
Although for a little while they actually had just kind of neutral pellets that they used colored powder,
right?
But they at least wised up there and said, why don't we just color the pellets and just stick with the one color?
Yep. And then so the system has a closed steam system that runs hot steam through coils.
That's crazy.
That runs through these plastic pellet vat, and it melts the pellets and then keeps them molten. So then when the mold seals up above come together and form that seal, hot plastic is injected into the mold and fills it up.
Right? That's right. Hot plastic injection. Great band name.
Yep.
And then these things obviously have to be cooled pretty quick-like in order for them to, solidify? Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
But when they do come out, like you said, they are warm. And I'm surprised. I mean, this seems like something that you could not create today without there being so much liability on your hands.
Well, again, they still are in use. You can still go to the Toledo Zoo, to zoos all over the Midwest and Florida and tourist attractions and rest stops, and you will find these things still in use.
It's just so funny to me that, like, it literally says on the little door that you open, hold upside down while it cools.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the molten plastic drip on little Timmy's hand.
That's exactly right. So we got the injection molding part done, but there's one step that we missed, and that's the blow part that makes it injection blow molding. And this is how these companies manage to actually make money, and one of the reasons why the Mold-O-Rama tchotchkes are so fragile is that they're hollow inside.
Yeah.
So the mold is filled with hot plastic, and then compressed air is blown into it. And the compressed air does two things. One, it pushes the plastic against the mold, so it completely covers it, and it takes on this shape of the mold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it also blows the excess plastic out the bottom, so it's hollow. And then that excess plastic goes back into the vat.
And it's reused, right?
Reused, exactly. Yeah. So it might use enough plastic at first to make 10 of these things, or 5 or something. I'm just totally guessing here. But then it reuses it by blowing it out the bottom and making it a hollow object rather than a solid one.
Right.
Okay. And then it comes out hot. They say wait 30 seconds or half a minute, I think is how they put it. And the reason why they say hold it upside down is because there's still that hole at the bottom that little hot plastic can, like you said, burn Timmy's hands.
That's right.
The smell, Chuck. You've never smelled anything like it.
Do you remember the smell?
Yes, I can remember the smell. It's at the same time pleasing and totally noxious.
Interesting.
Like, as a kid, you're like, oh, this smells weird and cool. But as an adult, I'm sure you'd be like, this is going to kill my whole family. You know, it's going to kill my great-grandchildren somehow.
Well, back then, no one cared.
No, they didn't.
You know? And like we said, tons of upkeep. You know, you've got steam, you've got hydraulic fluid, mm-hmm. you have antifreeze, mm-hmm. sometimes cold water, but I would suspect antifreeze in most cases.
Yeah.
And until the 1970s, like I said, you had powdered coloring. I mean, this whole thing is, I'm surprised they didn't explode at any point.
Yeah, one of the other things that I really admire about this is that, again, the machines that are still in use today, that still work just as well as ever today, were built exclusively from 1962 to 1969 when Aramark was making them. And then these things also, because they put off these terrible fumes, they're kept outside. So they've been sitting in the elements for 50 plus years,
yeah.
and they still work. They're pretty well-built machines for sure.
I think they've got some now that they have been able to move indoors.
Yeah, from using a different type of plastic, I think.
Yeah, that's crazy that these things had to be outside.
Yeah, and they still are. Most of them are.
Really?
A lot of them have like kind of built-in little canopies over them or
sure.
something like that. But if you look at the canopies, you can tell they're kind of new. They've been outside basically for 50 years.
I am so going to be on the lookout for these now.
So there is a website, Chuck, called Waymarking, waymarking.com. Mm-hmm. They have a comprehensive list of every single moldorama in use today in the United States. And they have like actual like longitude and latitude coordinates if you wanted to, I guess, geocache your way to them.
Well, what I want is an app that will text me when I'm within 500 feet of one.
Oh, that's a good idea.
There's a $10 app. And yeah, by $10 app, I mean you would make $10.
Yeah. Although people are crazy for these things still, as we'll see.
There are none in Atlanta, right?
Not that I saw, no.
Ugh.
But again, there's a bunch in Toledo. I found the machine that I almost certainly got my Angel from.
Oh, wow.
They keep it in storage at Tam O'Shanter, which is an ice skating rink in, I guess, a Scottish ice skating rink. I don't know. In Maumee, which is where they have Children's Wonderland. But I saw a picture of it, and now it looks like the most recent thing it makes is polar bears.
And your DNA is on that machine still.
Somewhere in the form of a wad of gum.
All right. Well, let's take another break. We'll come back and talk a little bit about some of these fun figures and the people that are still trying to keep this tradition alive. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. All right, so here's the thing that I wanted to know and that our article didn't get to till three quarters of the way through. I was like, do they have different things for each machine? The answer sadly is no. If it spits out a dinosaur, it can only spit out a dinosaur unless you change up that mold.
Yes, but you can change the color and you'll have a different color dinosaur.
Well, until they started using the single color pellets.
Right. Well, no, then they just put in a different color when they refill the thing, and all of a sudden it went from a purple dinosaur to a green dinosaur.
Right, you say purple and hit a purple button?
No.
Or it's whatever the kid who worked there decided to put in that morning.
That's exactly right. The thing is, though, and again, it's not even just the toy that comes out. The toy is, especially as a kid, invariably disappointing.
Sure.
But it's the process. It's watching this thing happen. Mm-hmm. And the Moldorama machines will have like little different lights that light up like, now we're cooling. Now we're about to launch the toy to you. You know, it tells you what's going on. So you're following the process, which is at least is probably 80% of the appeal of the whole thing.
Stand back right now, because if I were to explode, it would be during this next 8 seconds.
Right.
All right. So
your mom, who's standing there missing her one arm from saving you in a car wreck, it's like, you probably should stand back.
Exactly. No one knows exactly how many of these molds were made, but there, like we said, are enthusiasts who collect these. And this one dude, Bill Bowman, who owns one and runs moldville.com. Mm-hmm. Bad URL there. Right.
Yeah, it is bad. And I got to say, I looked it up and it's a dead domain, but he's got a Facebook thing that he does now. That's where he's moved to.
Yeah, that's where he went MySpace and then he went Facebook. But there will never be another site better than Facebook, so I'm sure it's all over, right?
Probably.
So he, his estimate is about 300 designs. I bet it's more than that.
I don't know. This guy knows what he's talking about.
That's true.
He counted 196 original ones. And then he said after the 60s, more people started to make them. They weren't just commissioned by Aramark, who was keeping track of these things. And I would say this guy's probably the person on Earth who could estimate how many there are the closest.
And not just me guessing randomly. I bet it's more.
And what's cool, though, also is, again, like, if you were – you could be anybody. If you wanted a Moldorama thing at your event, it could happen.
Sure.
Like, I found there was a Circleville, Ohio Pumpkin Festival Moldorama figure.
Wonderful.
So one of the 300 molds is a pumpkin from Circleville, Ohio's Pumpkin Fest in the 70s. Another one. So apparently Toledo was crazy about these things, because again, there's 10 at the Toledo Zoo. There's the one at Tam O'Shanter that I got mine from. There was one in the 80s at the Toledo Mudhens Stadium, and there's a Mudhens figure, which is pretty cool, actually. And I looked, and there's like zero for sale anywhere. But now I'm kind of on the lookout for that thing. But all you had to do was just make a mold, get your hands on one of these, and bam. Circleville, Ohio's Pumpkin Fest went from zero to hero.
Right. And you, too, could have a snowman or a Grauman's Chinese Theater or a space lab or a Lawrence Welk.
Yeah.
Or a Titan missile.
Yeah, NASA had a lot of these things, actually.
I'm sure.
What else was there?
Well, the Lawrence Welk, none of those were jokes. Those are real.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There was a Titan 3C missile in a Lawrence Welk. It says other famous people. I'm kind of curious.
I didn't see anybody besides presidents and Lawrence Welk. There was one of the Georgia State Capitol building.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There were some cool ones, actually. The St. Louis Arch is surprisingly cool. You wouldn't think it'd be that cool. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Mm.
This one was kind of random. It's a Hialeah player, and then at the base it says Hialeah in Miami.
Hmm. Okay.
The water skier from Cypress Gardens, Florida. And the mermaids from Wekiwachi Springs, Florida.
Oh, we talked about them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's one. Universal Studios had one that made a Frankenstein coin bank. That's kind of cool.
It is very cool. Like, a lot of these are actually super cool, especially the original retro ones. You can actually see, like, I can't remember the woman's name, but there is a woman who was hired by one of the companies that still operate these things to start making molds. And she's been making them for the last 25 years. And compared to some of the ones from the 60s, like, she's just head and shoulders above the people who were sculpting them then. Like, these are really, really well-made sculptures, not only in, like, the actual sculpture that she's making, but the decisions she's making produces just a better Molarama toy.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're dealing with melted plastic in a mold that is two halves pressed together. There's a lot of, like, details that can go wrong, and this great sculptor is taking all of them into account, making some really boss ones, like the Wienermobile.
Yeah.
It's art to behold. This the detail in it is really, really nice.
Should we talk about a couple of these companies that are still going strong?
Yeah, for sure.
Or at least going?
No, they're going strong, man.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. There are a couple of them, one called Replication Devices and one called Moldorama Incorporated. Replication Devices, founded by Eldon Irwin, mm-hmm. who bought a bunch of these. It says dozens in the early 60s. Eventually passed down through his family, and right now his grandson and his wife, the Strigows, mm-hmm. In Florida, are operating 60 or 70 of these.
Yeah, and let's think about this for a second. So Eldon Irwin bought dozens. Now they're up to 60. Maybe 70.
Mm-hmm.
And those Moldorama machines have supported three generations of this family.
Fully?
From what I understand, yes.
Okay.
I saw an interview with Tim Strigow, and he said he was surprised that the business was still going when his parents took it over. And now he, the grandson, and his wife operate it. And yes, from what I understand, it fully supports it. The San Antonio Zoo estimated that they make 130,000 figurines a year from their one Moldorama.
$2 a pop, that's 260,000 gross.
Times 60 or 70. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they're doing just fine.
This other one, Moldorama Inc. Uh-huh. Like, we're not asking anyone to open their books for us.
No, for sure. And I certainly don't want to shine a light on these people's finances. But I'm just saying, like, it's astounding to me that these machines, built in the 60s, left out in the elements for 50 years, are managing to support three generations of the families who have been operating them. I just think that's super cool.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's kind of like the people who own car washes.
Sure.
Isn't it like a front always to launder money from drug sales?
I would guess. I think it's low-hanging, easy to buy.
I'm just kidding, everyone out there that owns car washes. I've watched too much Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's right, that's right. But I think that is like a legitimate thing. Like car washes are like...
Yeah, cash businesses are ripe for the picking.
I forgot they bought that car wash.
Yeah. So Moldorama Inc., like I said, William A. Jones Company, changed their name in 2011. But they got into this in 1971 mm-hmm. when William A. Jones bought some of these from one of the guys who worked for the original Moldorama. Mm-hmm. Then they expanded, bought more machines, and it is still a family business again. They got about 60 of them.
Yep. And they were the William A. Jones Company. And then I guess they got their hands on the Moldorama trademark in 2011, and they changed the name of the company to Moldorama Inc. again, because that's originally what it was called back when Aramark was running it.
Yeah, they're mainly in the Midwest, Minnesota, Michigan, bunch of them in Illinois, and one in Texas, it looks like.
Right.
Not bad.
And then every once in a while, you have just some independent operators, like Knoxville Zoo owns their own. They apparently got theirs from Dollywood, which, man, Moldoramas at Dollywood... That'd make your wig spin.
There's this one cool thing I wanted to shout out. This toy store in Chicago, uh-huh. Rotofuji. I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
I don't know.
They repurposed their own Moldorama. They bought one and repurposed it that was originally the LA Zoo, and they call it the Roto-O-Matic. And they have something called a helper dragon that you can get for $6. And if you look up the helper dragon... And these dudes, it is clear that they are Simpsons fans. Did you see this thing?
Yeah, I did. I saw a video of it, but it was kind of out of focus.
Yeah, like just Google image the helper dragon, Roto-O-Matic, and it is, to me at least, clearly the Cyclops alien from The Simpsons. with its with its head stuck on the body of a winged lion.
Nice.
That's my take on it.
Very nice.
And then there is this one other guy. Mm-hmm. He is a Disney World Imagineer named James Durand, and he has built his own Moldorama called the Mini Molder. And you just look at this guy, you know he's an Imagineer, you look at this machine, mm-hmm. and you're like, I would hire that guy to build and do anything because he's clearly a brilliant genius.
Yep.
Really cool looking thing.
And a bit of a show-off, frankly.
You think?
No, I'm just kidding. So I've got two more things.
All right.
The Moldorama used to be 50 cents in its original incarnation in 1962.
Right.
Which, again, thanks to our friends at West Egg Inflation Calculator, tells us is about $4.12 in 2017 money. Today, you can get a Moldorama for $2, which means that the price has gone down by half over the last 50 years.
Oh, interesting.
Pretty cool. And then lastly, so after Tyke Miller got out of the plastics injection molding business, he had another invention that he called the Golden Goat. And it was this big machine that apparently he invented to put out in parking lots at like grocery stores. And it would take up about 2 parking spaces. And customers would come in and put in their used aluminum cans. And then the Golden Goat would weigh it and then give them some money in return. And then it would compact those cans. And then later on, that aluminum would be sold as scrap for recycling. The thing is this was years before the green movement was ever even thought of. That's how ahead of his time this guy was. And I don't think the Golden Goat ever made him a lot of money, but it's a pretty cool invention that this guy had. He was like one of those great Midwestern tinkerer inventor guys.
Yeah.
Hats off to him.
God bless all those people.
Yep. So there you go. Nativity figures. Plastic. If you want to know more about Moldorama, man, you can fall down a rabbit hole just looking at pictures of them on the internet. So why don't you go do that? Take some time for yourself, you know? Why do you always have to work, work, work? Since I said that, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this just kind of a quick shout-out. We don't do these a lot because we get a lot of shout-out requests, but this one was adorable because it's a little kid. Mm-hmm. So this is from Jenny. She's the mom. She says, how about a shout-out for my son, Jake? He listens to every episode more than once.
Nice.
He's got me and many others into the show, and we love it. So young Jake is out there spreading the word, and we appreciate that, Jake. And you love the show so much, you named, well, not quite yet, but Jake says he wants to get a puppy mm-hmm. and call it Charles W. Chuck Bryant. And he says this, most of the time he will be called Chuck, but when he does something wrong, I'll be like, Charles W. Chuck Bryant, why did you do that?
Yeah. Well, Jake, we have a really big surprise for you. If you will go to your back door, I think you're going to find something pretty special out there.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, we're just kidding, Jake. There's not a puppy at your back door unless your mom, Jenny, heard this beforehand and is the best mom in the world.
Yeah.
And but your mom is the best mom in the world.
Yeah, that was pretty cool of her to write in and let us know. So way to go, Jake, for listening to us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jake. Thank you, Jenny. We literally count on people like you to spread the word, so we appreciate it.
Good luck with your eventual puppy, too, named Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
When he's bad.
If you want to tell us about your cute kid, we want to hear about him. Or her. You can tweet to us at Josh M. Clark or at SYSK Podcast. You can post it on Facebook.com/Charles W. Chuck Bryant or /Stuff You Should Know. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody, are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain, caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. sipthesky.com. Sip the Sky.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.